Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
32. Yenyeva Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas. Tvayasta Bhavada Vishuddha Buddhaya. Aruhya Krishna Param Padam Tata. Patanti Adho Nadvita Yushmad Angraya. Yenyeva Vindaksha Vimukta Maninas. Tvayasta Bhavada Vishuddha Buddhaya. Aruhya Krishna Param Padam Tata. Patantyadho Nadvita Yushmad Angraya. Ye Anye. Anyone or all others. Aravinda Aksha. O Lotus Eyed One. Vimukta Maninaha. Falsely considering themselves free from the bondage of material contamination. Twayi. Unto you. Asta Bhavat. Speculating in various ways. But not knowing or desiring more information of your lotus feet. Avishuddha Buddhayaha. Whose intelligence is still not purified. And who do not know the goal of life. Ahruhya.
Even though achieving Krishna.
By undergoing severe austerities, penances, and hard labor. Param padam. The highest position. According to their imagination and speculation. Tataha. From that position. Patanti. They fall. Adaha. Down into material existence again. Anadrita. Neglecting devotion to. Yushmat. Your. Angrayaha. Lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Okay, this is all in brackets. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Purport. Aside from the devotees, there are many others, non-devotees, known as karmis, gyanis, or yogis, philanthropists, altruists, politicians, impersonalists, and voidists. I'll make a small comment. We often take this verse to mostly refer to the Mayavadis. But actually, our commentators are applying it to all sorts of non-devotees, including ordinary materialists. Prabhupada continues. There are many varieties of non-devotees who have their respective ways of liberation, but simply because they do not know the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Although they falsely think that they have been liberated and elevated to the highest position, they fall down. as clearly said by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita. 9.3 Ashradhadhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa. Apraapyaman Nivartante Mityu Samsara Vartmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes, by return to birth and death in this material world. It does not matter whether one is a karmi, gyani, yogi, philanthropist, politician, or whatever. If one has no love for the lotus feet of the Lord, he one falls down. This is the verdict given by Lord Brahma in this verse. There are persons who advocate accepting any process, and who say that whatever process one accepts will lead to the same goal. But that is refuted in this verse, where such persons are referred to as vimukta maninaha, signifying that although they think they have attained the highest perfection, in fact they have not. In the present day, big politicians all over the world think that by scheming they can occupy the highest political post, that of president or prime minister. But we actually see that in this life, such big prime ministers, presidents, or other politicians, because of being non-devotees, fall down, patanti adaha. To become president or prime minister is not easy. One must work very hard, ahruhya krishtrena, to achieve the post. And even though one may reach his goal, at any moment one may be kicked down by material nature. In human society, there have been many instances in which great, exalted politicians have fallen from government and become lost in historical oblivion. The cause of this is avishuddha buddhayaha. Their intelligence is impure. The Shastra says, Nate viduk swarta gatim hi Vishnum. One achieves the perfection of life by becoming a devotee of Vishnu. But people do not know this. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, klesho dikataras te sham avyakta sakta chetasam. Persons who do not ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take to devotional service, but who instead are attached to impersonalism and voidism, must undergo great labor to achieve their goals. Kshayak satim bhaktim udasya te vibho. To achieve understanding, such persons work very hard and undergo severe austerities. But their hard labor and austerities themselves are their only achievement, for they do not actually achieve the real goal of life. Okay, that's half the purport. Well, we normally take this to mean vimukta manina, so that we usually think that it's the Mayavadis who are thinking they're liberated. They presume that by taking sannyas they become paramahamsa, they've become Narayana, and therefore they're free. But the same mentality is possessed even by ordinary materialists. Prabhupada gives the example of the politician. He's trying to become free from the dominance of other people by being the one who does the dominating. A politician wants power, because power means you dominate other people. And if you don't have power, other people dominate you. So that's freedom. Freedom from domination is to get elected to office or to seize power. That's a kind of liberation. The president or prime minister of Pakistan in 1970 decided to annihilate all the Bengalis in East Pakistan, to kill all the Bengalis was his idea. You know, these Bengalis are unruly and they're not submitting to our government, so let's go over there and kill them all. The other side of Pakistan were Sindhis and Punjabis, and they didn't care about Bengalis anyway. So the country was half over here and half over here. So the half over here that ruled decided to just wipe out the Bengali half. And they practically did it. They killed 2 or 3 million people. No, many, you know, millions of people they killed. Just went down in the streets with machine guns and just wiped people out. Finally, with the help of the Indian government, the Pakistanis rebelled. The Bangladeshis rebelled. And they had some short revolution with the help of the Indian army and attained independence. So the name of that independence movement was the Mukti Vahini. You know, the wing or the movement for liberation. Horrible. But their idea of liberation was political. We have to get liberated from these Punjabis and Sindhis. You know, in the land of Lord Chaitanya, they're thinking that liberation just means to shift your political allegiance from one ruler to another. That's liberation. Or in the West nowadays, there's the movement for women's liberation. And they have a different concept of what's liberation. Yeah. I won't discuss that. So, Vimuktamani Naha, there are many kinds of people who think themselves liberated, not just the Mayavadis. Although the Mayavadis show the way how to do it. They're the path trendsetters for the whole modern world. We pray, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya De Shatarini. Prabhupada is delivering the Western countries from Mayavad and Buddhist impersonalism. But we don't see, you know, that the Western countries are dominated by, in Thailand, you can say that the Buddhists, you know, the Buddhist monks are practically controlling the government. You don't see that in the United States or in Switzerland. You know, the Buddhists and the Mayavadis are controlling everything. Maybe indirectly through the Sony company, but... But the influence is there, cultural influence is there. Maybe not direct political or financial, you know, economic influence. But actually the whole Western civilization is based on the Mayavad program. What's the Mayavad program? We can be the lords of nature. And that's also been adopted as the program of modern technology and applied science. That by applying our science and technology, we can become the lords, we can conquer nature. It's really no different than the original Mayavad proposal. So this is all Vimuktamani Naha. We think because we've got our solid-state technology and our communication networks, therefore we've defeated illusion. Now, information is available to everybody through the internet. Therefore, illusion is dead. This is Vimuktamani Naha. Thinking that we're liberated. And what happens? Arukya Kritrena, you take a great difficulty to achieve that position of so-called liberation. And then you end up falling down again because you haven't developed love. Two disqualifications. Astabhavad and Anadrita Yushmadangriyaha. No love for Krishna and no respect for his lotus feet. No matter what you are, no matter how successful you are in some domain of the material world, you will fail if you don't become Krishna's surrendered devotee. Surrender to him and develop love for him. Then your life can be successful. Otherwise, no way. You will fall down. The Mayavadis fall down because they cannot maintain an impersonal position in the spiritual world. The materialists fall down because they have to die, and everything they've accumulated will be taken away from them. Every politician loses in the end, because death takes everything back, no matter what he's conquered. Okay, so let me read the rest of the purport. Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaj at first wanted to achieve the greatest material kingdom and greater material possessions than his father. But when he was actually favored by the Lord, who appeared before him to give him the benedictions he desired, Dhruva Maharaj refused it, saying, Swamin kritartosmi varamnayache. Now I am fully satisfied. I do not want any material benediction. Where is it said?
It's
No, it's a Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya.
Yeah, well, Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya is part of Brihadnarandiya.
So you look at the Brihadnarandiya Purana that we have, it's not there.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, it's supposed to be part
it's
of it. Okay. This is the perfection of life. Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha. If one achieves the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, one is fully satisfied and does not need to ask for any material benediction. At night, no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore, the word Aravinda, the Aravindas blossom during the nighttime. I think it's the Utpalas or the Indivara? There's other kind of lotus or lily that blooms at night. But the Aravindas bloom during the day. Therefore, the word Aravindaksha is significant. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness, exactly like one who cannot see a lotus. One who has not come to the point of seeing the lotus eyes in the transcendental form of Shyama Sundara is a failure. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Vidayeshu Vilokayanti. Those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love always see the Lord's lotus eyes and lotus feet, whereas others cannot see the Lord's beauty and are therefore classified as anadrita yushmad angrayaha, or neglectful of the Lord's personal form. Those who neglect the Lord's form are surely failures on every path in life. But if one develops even a little love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is liberated without difficulty. Swalpam apyasya dharnam asya trayate mahato bhayat. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends in Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana bhava madmakto madyaji mam namaskuru. Simply think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer some slight homage to me. Simply by this process, one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead and thus attain the highest perfection. The Lord further affirms in the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param bhaktyamam abhijanati yava nyaschasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate taranam taram. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. There's step-by-step process, not even one process, but multiple means to regain our transcendental position. Our problem is, we don't have any love for Krishna, and we are disrespecting his lotus feet. But that can be remedied. The Vedic Shastra gives us many different ways, sadhanas, for remedying our faulty condition. And they all ultimately lead to love of God. It may not be obvious when you read the Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and so on, parts of the Vedas. But that is the actual design, to lead everybody back to the real purpose of their life. And as Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, in a very simple, straightforward way, especially the Gita, in a very simple way, explains the method to us. this is the culmination at the end of the 18th chapter, that if you can realize yourself to be pure spirit, if you can become self-realized, if you can realize you're not this material body, you're not the possessor of material things and the controller of other material people, you're actually pure spirit. You're meant to be used by Krishna, not that you're meant to use the material world. Then you're Brahma-bhuta. Then you develop these other qualities of being satisfied in your heart. Somebody may have a prasanna vaktram, a smiling face, but inside he's not peaceful and happy. He's just making a false pretense of being happy. But one who has actually realized himself to be pure spirit is satisfied in his heart, not just on his face. Therefore, he doesn't lament or hanker for anything. He's equal to all creatures. And then he can achieve transcendental love for Krishna. Krishna speaking, mad bhakti, param. Not mixed devotion, but pure devotion can be achieved when we become self-realized first. As long as we're still attached to any of the material modes, even goodness, we're not ready. We cannot enter actual pure devotion. Our devotion remains mixed as long as we're still influenced by the material modes. So therefore we have to become Brahma-bhuta, not Sattvic-bhuta, not Rajasic-bhuta, not Tamasic-bhuta. Even becoming a Brahmana is only a stepping stone. It's not the goal. If becoming a Brahmana makes us proud and complacent, greedy, selfish, then better forget it. Just remain whatever you are. Forget about becoming a Brahmana. By devotion, you can understand Krishna as he is, and then you can enter into your loving relationship with him. Mam tatvato gyatva vishate. Don't take that the impersonalist way, that you're going to develop love of God and then merge into Krishna. That's what you technically called bhakti abhasa, of the pratibimba version. People are polluted by the Mayavad idea that we're meant to merge into the existence of God and become one with him. And even when we get some reflection, some semblance of attraction to Krishna, we pray to Krishna, please let me develop attraction to your lotus feet so that I can merge into you. It's even described like that in the Nectar of Devotion. This is faulty devotional service. Properly, vishate tadanantaram. Vishate doesn't mean to enter literally into Krishna, but to become one with him in spirit. Mayarpita mano buddhir, to merge your intelligence and your mind into Krishna's intelligence and mind. To not have any separate agenda apart from Krishna's. You want to be part of Krishna's lila. You don't have your own games that you want to play. You want to play Krishna's games. That's merging. Join the same game, the lila of Krishna, instead of the perverted lila of our material life. My make money, make progeny, make a mess in the material world. That's my lila. But that's the perverted lila, just like Paundrika, the false Vasudeva. He thought he had his lila. Yeah, but his lila was foolish. It was just a laughing stock. And our material life is also foolish. We should just laugh at it and give it up. Okay, any questions or comments? Asta-bhava. Well, actually, asta means set, like the sun sets. So actually, what's the proper understanding of that? I'm not sure. I have to look in the commentary. I was thinking not established, but that's not proper. It doesn't literally mean you don't have love. Asta means you've lost your love. Like the sun is set at night, the sun's gone at night. So your whatever love of God you had originally, you've lost it by falling into illusion.
your potential, your love of God is covered over by darkness. Just like the sky is covered by darkness when the sun sets. And Bhava is described as the kirima, or the dawn rays of prema about to arise, like the sun, like the rays of the dawn before the sunrise. So Bhava is typically described metaphorically as a ray of light. So when the sun goes down, then the rays of the light is not visible. When our bhava goes down, when it's covered over by material conceptions, you know, our prema bhava gets covered by asura bhava, then that's our life of illusion. So I guess you can translate it as when your love of God becomes covered over. Because you don't have to develop love of God. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema is not something you have to acquire. You have it. You never lose it, but it's covered over. So that's why the word asta is not that you didn't attain it. It's not something you have to attain. It's not that you lost it. You can say lupta, hidden, or you know, you lost track of it, but you have it. You know, I lost, you know, the receipt for that purchase, but it's somewhere in the house. I just can't find it. So that kind of lost. You know, you just lost track of it, but it's there. So the sun doesn't die at night. Only primitive people think that there's some snake swallows the sun at night and he's dead and he has to be born again. The Egyptians thought that. The sun god dies every night and he's born again in the morning. But we understand that's not true. It's just that, you know, he's hiding on the other side of the globe. He's hidden, not dead. So even your love of God isn't dead. It's just hiding. So No, I think it's a different verb. Mm-hmm. Asta, where does it come from?
Asta throw,
right? Is it? Mm-hmm. And then sunset comes from asta throw? There's two verbs, asta be, second class, and astiate throw. Yeah, I think. Well, you could check the dictionary, Ben. Yeah. I think asta is considered a an undeclined word, isn't it?
No, it's just perfect
class. Us fourth class to throw? Okay. Wait, does it also mean set like the sun?
Yeah, you need to set in the sun. Go to one, the turtle hole also. The seas vanish.
Okay, vanished. Mm-hmm. Lupta. But not actually destroyed. Okay, anything else? Hare Krishna.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Okay, some devotee from Kazakhstan, a devotee, wrote me an email.
Radhe Sharma?
Yeah.
He wrote to me also.
He's asking about how to break up these.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't answer that. He had a whole list. I didn't answer it, I forgot. Problem is, we don't have hard and fast rules for that. You can probably break them both ways, as he's suggesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to look at the list.
Okay.
Because we know we don't have a proper definition in the DBT of what's a syllable, you know.
Right.
I don't know what the grammarians say. Maybe you can help us with that. But we never implemented that. I never thought about it. We just sort of take liberties in splitting up the Sanskrit words.
Right.
Doing things that Sanskrit grammarians would not consider syllables. We're creating them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Because I've heard somebody say that it's in DBT it's better not to even split up Sanskrit words because, you know, you've already got a hyphen for using
hyphens. We have to very, sometimes we have to anyway.
Right.
Otherwise the lines are uneven.
Right.
For the length of the line sometimes, otherwise you get big spaces between the words.
Yeah.
If you don't split sometimes.
Right.
So we do.
Okay.
And we don't have hard and fast rules for doing it. Maybe we should have proper rules based on the actual definition of a syllable. The thing is, it's non-Sanskrit speakers who are reading it, so if, even if we followed the proper Sanskrit rules, it would confuse the Westerners. So I think we generally split after a... No, sometimes you split after a vowel, and sometimes you split in the middle of a conjunct. If we have a root, we try not to split the root in half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's basic. That's our basic principles. To try not to cut roots in half. Right. Keep them on one side of the hyphen. Okay. And if you got you know, identifiable suffixes and prefixes, don't chop them in half.
Doesn't that make it ambiguous? Like if you want to say such and such a word, then you put another hyphen. If you're using a hyphen for samasa and using a hyphen for word wrap, then
it's ambiguous. But you know, it creates a potential confusion. Yeah. We never, you know, worried about that too much.
But sometimes it happens, right? At the end of a first line, for example, if it's a long word and you have to...
Yes.
But
if you're dealing with something that's in the verse and in the word for word, and then you repeat the same thing a third time in the purport, then you get to see it in three different places. But if it's something that only shows up in the purport, it's not from the verse, then it could be confusing. It's not in the purport so much we have to do this. It's in the word for words where we have, you know, a lot of Sanskrit, English Sanskrit words alternating. Mm-hmm. And the word for words are tricky to get the lines so that they're evenly spaced is tricky. That's where we have to put hyphens mostly. Uh-huh. Purports, we can avoid them.
Uh-huh.
Because you got, you know, a lot of English and a little bit of Sanskrit, so you can usually split the English words instead.
But even in the main verse, I mean, when you write the main verse, sometimes the word has to be splitted.
Only if it's really long. Most verses could fit easily in on the line. Unless it's prose. If you got Sanskrit prose.
No.
Paragraphs.
You have four line words, and this something
similar. Oh, but the Devanagari, they do that in the Devanagari. And I don't properly follow, I don't always do it exactly the same way it's in the Devanagari. So I may be breaking the rules sometimes the way I hyphenate at the end of a line.
Yeah, it's so hyphenated.
Yeah, it happens. Because couplets are split into two lines if they're long.
Yeah.
And therefore you might have a hyphen at the end of one. But that's done in Devanagari. Yeah. So there is a precedent for it. They do it in Devanagari at the end of a line. Okay. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.